This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Tuesday, March 19, 2024. The Solemnity of St. Joseph by Father William Doc Holliday.
Now the generation of Christ was in this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, whereupon Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing publicly to expose her, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in his sleep, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. We knew very little about St. Joseph from the Scriptures, but that's all we need to know about him. Actually, I was reading a commentary today, and it said we don't have a whole lot written by St. Joseph, by men, because they don't know enough about him, but they made mention of the fact that you don't need the men to write about you if you have God Almighty saying that you're a just man. There's really nothing else to be said. So, this is a good thing when we look at St. Joseph. And you look at St. Joseph, and you think, you know, we know that he was a just man. He was just, but he was a man. He was a human being. He was a royal lineage, the kingdom of David, but nonetheless, he was a man. In the 1962 Roman Missal, the comments for the Mass for today, it says, to be convinced how much the intercession of St. Joseph prevails with Jesus Christ, we have only to consider these words. He was subject to them. Part of a royal family history, a just man, those are great things, but to be a just man is filthy rags compared to being God. And God was subject to St. Joseph. God was subject to him and the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was subject to them. This obedience, heard about it at length on Sunday. This obedience that our Lord Jesus Christ showed to St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary was a holy obedience. I pointed out on Sunday that holy obedience has really two characteristics. One, it is prompt. It is immediate obedience. It's immediate obedience, but it is also obedience without deliberation. Can you, again, try to get your head around that one, that God Almighty was subject to a human being without deliberation in his divinity. He just did what Joseph said when he said to do it. Actually, I read what's something today. It was really kind of interesting. He said, no matter what Joseph wanted, whether it was by word or just action, Jesus did it immediately and without deliberation. This is overwhelming to think about, because this puts us in perspective of the intercession of St. Joseph. Because if God Almighty was subject to him and put himself underneath, we need to understand that when we ask him for something, that the same Jesus Christ who placed himself under him in this world is most likely going to do, like assuredly going to do, what he asked him in the next world. This is the dignity of St. Joseph. St. Joseph is a saint above all saints except for the Queen of Saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. St. Joseph is identified as the first of all saints because one person said, a writer said, that St. Joseph has the unique office of other saints being able to help us in certain situations. Like, you know, you lose something, what do you do? pray to St. Anthony. You know, it's a bad disease or something. What do? You pray to St. Jude. They're there for certain circumstances. St. Joseph is there for all circumstances. This is why he has a dignity over all saints. St. Teresa says, if St. Joseph was pleased to be subject to Jesus, if Jesus subjected himself to St. Joseph on earth, so now he pleases to grant whatsoever St. Joseph asks of him in heaven. You know, well, is that really necessarily correct? Just because he subjected himself here, does he have to subject himself to himself in heaven? Well, it would go hand in hand with our understanding of God, which is a dogma of the church, that God is immutable. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it was okay for him to subject himself to St. Joseph in this world. It would be inconsistent for him not to do what St. Joseph would ask of him in the next world. This is the intercession of the saints. Okay, but when you look at it in this context, it's really kind of interesting to think about the weight that St. Joseph's intercession have for us. These are saints saying this, St. Teresa. The Blessed Virgin Mary speaks to the dignity of St. Joseph. Although she is over him as queen of saints, even when she was in this world, we have the story when our Lord was separated from them in the temple. They search for him for 3 days, sorrowing. They find him. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, after I'm sure her overwhelming relief of seeing Jesus in the temple with the doctors, the Blessed Virgin Mary says something. She says, "Thy Father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Our Blessed Virgin Mary knew that St. Joseph was not Jesus' father in the purest sense of the word. And she knows that in her immaculate state, that Joseph is there as the protector of the Holy Family and everything. She's the immaculate one. She's the mother of God. But she, in her confidence, humility, and affection for St. Joseph, says and puts him first. She doesn't say, "Jesus, how could you do this to me? I'm your mother. How could you do that?" She doesn't say that. She says, "Your father and I." Not me and your father, your father and I. This confidence and humility and affection she has for St. Joseph. Again, do you not think that's going to be carried forward now that she's seated at the right hand of her son in heaven? This is the weight that St. Joseph has. This is why we had such a devotion to St. Joseph. Either the Blessed Virgin Mary can put him first before her in her affections for him, how much more should we put him, I would say, all saints save her. This is St. Joseph. St. Joseph, this just man. We don't know a whole lot about him. Just that remark and the concise way that it's presented to us, that he was a just man. There have been other just men in Scripture that we know a whole lot more about. A whole lot more. Abraham. Father Abraham. Our father in the faith, our patriarch Abraham. Abraham was a just man. Romans chapter 4 talks about the exemplary faith of Abraham. And this exemplary faith was reputed to him unto justice. He's a just man because he was so faithful. This is what the scriptures say. But compare St. Joseph to Abraham. There is an immense amount of what we know about Abraham, and all the emphasis is in a bunch of different places how just he was because of his faith. But a lot of the things we know about Abraham kind of go, how could a guy really was hit that had that much faith that was going to be accounted him a righteous? How could he do some of the stuff that he did? Like, for instance, when he questioned God's promise to him that he was going to have a child in his old age. Now, he didn't question as to whether or not he was going to have a child, but he approached the situation, and when he was going to help God out, he and Sarah get together. Oh, it doesn't probably mean, he doesn't mean with you and me. He means with just, you're going to have a child. So she gives him her handmaid, Hagar, and they have a child, Ishmael. And God's like, thank you very much, Abraham and Sarah, but I'm God, I can do my own thing. You are going to have a child, and she has a child. He read into what God said. Let's not say he questioned him. Let's just say he read into things. and just didn't let God be God. He argued with God over Sodom. When God comes down, the angels say, hey, Sodom, horrible. Oh, their cries have come up to heaven for the sins that are there. I'm going to do away with it. What did Abraham do? Well, what if you find 50 righteous people there? I won't burn it down for 50. What about 45? What about 40? 20? Sound like an auctioneer. Again, he's doing it for right motives. He just doesn't let God be God. Okay, yeah, they're sinful. I know, I've heard. Have at it. But he again, it's a good thing, but there's an argument there. And then we get another incident where he doesn't really show as much confidence in God as maybe some should, because when he sees some people coming toward him, he looks at his wife, hey, tell them you're my sister. Tell them you're my sister because, you know, they'll kill me because you're really pretty and everything, and they'll kill me and they'll take you. He obviously doesn't really think that God can protect him and Sarah. So he does these little things. So again, he's a man of great faith. I'm just trying to underscore that. I'm just saying there are some things that we know a lot about things in his life that would go, why didn't you just trust in God? Because St. Joseph did. St. Joseph absolutely trusted in God. Did he question God's promises of a child? How about this one? Abraham, yeah, you and your wife are going to have a baby. That's not really a stretch. Okay, yeah, they're old, but it's not really a stretch, right? Biologically, okay? I mean, taking a kid, not a counselor. Husbands and wives have babies. This might be a really special condition, but husbands and wives have babies. No big deal. But he tries to help out. Joseph, he's betrothed to a woman. She's pregnant. And he's not the dad. And the Holy Spirit comes in. That which isn't conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. His name Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. Okay. That's Joseph. Okay. He never argued with God anything. Joseph, get up now. Take the woman and the child into Egypt. They're coming for the child's life. Well, God, you know, it's the middle of the night. You know, I got to get some stuff together. It's a long journey. You know, it's cold outside. Got a new baby and all this kind of... No. Joseph, get up and take... Boom. There's some faith. And the protection of God. Tell him you're my wife. Joseph just goes with it. Go back to Israel. Oh, gosh. Herod's father's the king still. Holy Spirit guides him. Angel comes, tells him what to do and everything like that. But he doesn't. Okay. No, God, don't you know that Herod's son is now he's in charge of things? He doesn't do that. So he's got like Abraham really like, I'm just saying, he's got a lot more going on than Abraham does when it comes to faith, in his perfections, in his justice. If Abraham was accounted with his faith for justice, how much more St. Joseph? This is St. Joseph. Because of what I do, I kick this stuff around a lot. You know, and I was always like, well, you know, he's so faithful and everything. How come he wasn't there at the end? How come Joseph's out of the picture? It's inarguable. He was out of the picture when our Lord's passion came up. We don't know when, you know, if our Lord was younger or, right, or during his earthly ministry, but he wasn't there at the end. But we know that for a fact. Cannot be. He was gone. He's out of the picture. Why? Why would the Lord take him out of it? And again, I ponder things like this, as we all should, because he would have fulfilled his vocation if he had still been around, because he would have done what he was called to do if he was still around. What was Joseph called to do? I mean, look at some of the titles we have for St. Joseph, the guardian of the Holy Family, the protector of virgins, the patron of the chosen people of God, terror of demons. This is St. Joseph. This is conjecture. I always say when I conjecture. I conjecture that Joseph wasn't in the picture because God knew Joseph would do what Joseph would have done if he had been around. He's the guardian of the Holy Family. As soon as he saw our Lord in danger for something, okay, as soon as he saw it, he would try to fix it. He would try to fix it. He would have done everything that he could to guard our Lord. Our Father didn't want our Lord to be guarded, you know, like when Peter cuts off Malchus' ear. Put your sword back in its place. It's not the time for this. You know, defend yourself later on, whatever if you have to do, but this isn't the time and place. Our Lord's passion was not the time for St. Joseph to be around. It couldn't have been. If you really, if you know everything that we know about St. Joseph, which is limited, but we do know what he, you know, the titles that we have for him, any one of those titles, but all of them collectively, he would have done exactly what he was supposed to do if he had been around at the Passion, which would have been protected our Lord Jesus Christ with every fiber of his being and the Blessed Mother. This is St. Joseph. This is why it was taken out of the picture. God, oh darn, I wish Joseph was still around. Then bad things wouldn't have happened to my son. Bad things were supposed to happen to his son. But Joseph had been put in a place that for such a time as this, when he, I need him protected when you go into Egypt. I need him protected when he's growing up. I need you to provide for him until he gets old enough to go out and do it on his own. After that is all done, it's not necessary anymore. So Joseph, then he died. And no, he got called to heaven. He got called to heaven and rewarded for all that he had done. And think about this little blessing that he did not have to experience the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ like the Blessed Mother did. So this is a reason why he would have been taken away. He was a just man, and he would have done what he was supposed to do. Now, we don't know a whole lot about him, but what we do know is, inarguably, he has more weight than any single saint except for the Queen of Saints. This is the reality of St. Joseph, and this is why we ought to avail ourselves of his intercession. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.